Thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
This morning, we are going to start our new series through the Gospel of Luke. So we're probably going to spend almost a year in the Gospel of Luke going through it. And my hope is that it would bless you. Yep. And well, we just finished Psalms, and I just looked at my notes, and we started January Psalms, right? And we went through, right? And so if you have the church Bibles, I'm not as good as Greg, so I don't know what page it's on. Right, I can only tell you the page that's on my Bible. Right, but I'm going to read verses 1 through 25. Let us give our attention to the reading of God's Word. In as so much as many have undertaken to compile the narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. It seems good to me also, having followed all things closely of some time past, to write an orderly account to you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainly concerning the things you have been taught. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there were a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all their commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as the priest before God, when his division was on duty according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside of the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers have been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when the time of service was ended, he went home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people." Let us pray. Lord, we are eternally grateful for your word that are captured here in the Gospel of Luke. And I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would lead and guide and open our hearts, that we would be drawn closer to you. Lord, we thank you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said earlier, we are going to spend the year in the Gospel of Luke. Luke is one of those amazing books which, together with the book of Acts, just tells us of the birth of the church. Right? And the thing about Luke is that because of his profession as a doctor, his writing ability are exquisite in the Greek. And he's a Gentile, right? He's not a Jew. He's not an Israelite. He is somebody who was impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit and was transformed. And the one thing that Luke tells us is he gives us a message of what a pre-gospel message is, of something to come, good news. And then throughout the Gospel of Luke, we eventually see the fulfillment of that good news, right? And through the Gospel of Luke and through the other writings of the Gospels, we are introduced to different individuals, right? And when you sit and study them, you wonder, like, why would God choose them, right? Why would God choose them to bring such a good news? And it seems that sometimes the people God uses are not what you and I would call perfect, right? And one of the things that I believe we tend to do, that I tend to do, right, is when a situation is presented before me, is I tend to overthink the problem, right? Can you identify with me when you're presented with an issue that you overthink the issue, right? And here's what I'm going to present to us as we go through this gospel message today, right? That when we overthink an issue, we're actually showing lack of faith, right? And I know right now you're listening to this and you're going, I don't agree with that, right? I'm executing my intellectual, right, gift that God has given me, right? It's right. All right. Well, we'll see, right? Right, I'm fond of saying, right, at least in my life, right, that anytime I got myself in trouble, that was my best thinking. Right? And I would ask yourself, right, that anytime you got yourself in trouble, was that your best thinking? Right? And then you'll see where I'm kind of heading in this. And overthinking is one of those things that all of a sudden, sin is able to creep in, and as it creeps in, it allows fear to take a hold, which is why then we overthink even more. And for you and I, who are students of God's word, let me just present a couple things that you and I overthink. Right? Let's see. Right. One would be the person of Jesus Christ. Tell me, do you ever overthink who Christ is in your life? Right. Do you ever overthink what grace and salvation is? Right. Well, how does that work for me, especially while I still sin every day of my life? Right. What does forgiveness look like? Am I forgiven, Lord? Right. And meanwhile, he says, you are. Scripture talks about what sin is, which is the separation of our relationship to God, and then judgment, because he's a righteous God and he's going to judge it. Heaven and hell, right? This is the place that those of us who put our faith and trust in his finished work are eventually going to end up. But if we don't put our faith and trust in his finished work, you're going to go to hell. And according to biblical theology, right, this is also eternal. It's not that it ends. As heaven is eternal, hell's eternal. Right? It's like, oh, right? Death and eternity. Life and death. Part of Advent is that as Christ returns, we are also reminded that he's going to return again. Right? And by his return, we're also talking about the end times. And all of a sudden, don't tell me you don't overthink the end times, right? I'm sure that in this room, we all have different slight opinions of what the end times are going to look like, right? And then love and the relationship of love, not only that we have with our Heavenly Father, but the love that we extend to those that are around us. Right, so these are a few items that I'm sure that at one time or another you sit there and you overthink it. Right, it's you lament over it. You wonder. Right, it's do I truly understand? Right, and I'm going to just suggest, right, don't overthink. Have faith, right? And I'm sure right now you're saying, boy, that's easier said than done, right? Well, how do I do that, right? How do I just have faith, right? It's believing in the very thing that's presented in Scripture, right? It's the gospel message, right, is written so that you and I would be able to understand it. The gospel message is not hidden to make it hard for you to discover it. Right? So sometimes we look at God's word and we analyze every single word, right? And well, God has a meaning hidden here. And it's like, just stop. Right? Just read his word. Right? And what we are going to be introduced to is this priest Zechariah. And you know, and if you know your Bibles, it's the one thing that you should know is that his story should remind you of a story early on in Genesis of Abram and Sarah. They too were without child, right? But you'll see where overthinking gets him in trouble. And you'll probably identify that when you overthink, it gets you into trouble, right? So, in as much as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were witnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seems good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time, to write an orderly account to you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may also certainly concerning the things that you have been taught. Right? So he is making a statement of why he is doing what he is doing. Right? And you can see that Luke, he is meticulous in his capturing the events. And he's writing it to another Gentile who also has been now converted, Theophilus. And here's the thing, when you look at his name, right? And for those of you who know Greek, right? Theo, God. Ophilus, the love of. Right? So his name is interpreted the love of God. Right? So some have suggested that Luke, in his writing style, is actually writing this to God himself. Right? I would say it's more of a person. Right? And it's to support and encourage, right, what this individual, maybe he's a new believer, but it's the very gospel that you and I are sharing today over 2,000 years later. In the days of Herod, the king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Again, narrative, right? This is just information for you and for me to have as we are opening the Gospel of Luke, of who these individuals are and the time period in which these events happen, right? So King Herod the Great was in authority. Right, he was placed there by the Roman government. And then you have Zechariah, right? And all of a sudden, what you find is that Zechariah is from a specific group of individuals, Abijah, right? And that his wife is from the line of Aaron, right? And his job alone was to be a servant there of the temple, right? And what you find is that when it says division, that there's probably a few thousand priests serving the temple, right? And not every priest gets access to do the things that need to happen in the life of the temple, right? So ask yourself, if you got 5,000-6,000 individuals, right, and only during certain times, certain individuals can do certain things, you would feel very grateful if your name got selected to do a specific job or role within the temple. And that's what we're going to be introduced to. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in age. Right? There's the problem. They were righteous, doing everything that they needed to do in order to be in right relationship with God. However, they were childless. And many during that time would assume that they were childless because they weren't righteous, right? That God was punishing them, right? And the Bible's way of just saying you're old is advanced in years, right? Right? It's today's interpretation. You're old, right? And I know that as I creep up there in age, right? It's like my definition of old gets pushed further, right? But they were old, right? They probably have given up, surrendered to the reality that nothing was going to change this current situation. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Do you see that there? Right? He's serving, and all of a sudden, right, it's like winning the lottery. Right? Oh, my name's been picked. Right? I get to go in. Right? I get to light the candle, the incense. Right? I haven't done that before. Right? I was hoping to go in, but now my name has been selected. Right? So you can feel the excitement that even though they have no child, God is going to bless them in this way. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. Right, so he's in, he's lighting the incense, and all of a sudden there's an angel at the right side. Right, and throughout scripture, we know that whenever an angel shows up, the one thing they take care of right away is the fear that most individuals fear because they believe they're going to drop dead. Right? But you see what scripture says? And Zechariah was troubled. Right? And the minute we find trouble or we confront trouble, guess what you and I do? We overthink it. Right? And we could be reminded of even what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, right? He said, let not your hearts be troubled, right? So what's he saying? Don't overthink this, right? Don't spend too much time reflecting on this, right? Don't try to just believe what I'm saying to you, right? Because he had just told them that he was going to the cross. He was going to die, right? So fear fills Zechariah. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers have been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. That's good news, right? Do not be afraid, Zechariah. For your wife, who's old in years, is going to have a son. And the angel's telling him the name, John. Right? It's not as if you have a choice, right? It's of what you want to name him. It's like, no, it's going to be John, right? And this is God's way of saying, this one's mine, right? And you will have joy and gladness. And as a result of this child that's being born to you, many are going to rejoice, right? Many are going to just be filled with the joy of the Lord. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of God's, of the children of Israel, to the Lord, their God. Right? This is what he's prophesying in reference to what John will be doing. Right, and right now you should have an image of John coming to mind, right? When he's grown up, right, and he's calling people to repent. Right? Remember he was dressed right? Not the way you and I would dress today, eating locusts and all bugs and, right? But this is who he's going to be, and right, and I'll say this, right, that throughout history, many have sometimes taken these words about not much drink or drink wine, and they have turned it into that most Christians should not drink wine, right? And that's not what this is saying here, right? It's because to drink wine was a sign of a celebration and a joyous event, right? And so this isn't a call for the abstinence of drinking, right? It's to control it in moderation, but really more specific that this child is going to have a specific role, right? And drinking can lead an individual to making unwise choices. And he will go before him. So who's the him? Jesus. In the spirit of the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Right? And this is where John will fulfill what Scripture says that Elijah is supposed to return, right? And if you are ever around any of our Jewish brothers today, right, during their Seder, their Passover meal, they always have an empty chair, right, at the table, right? And that empty chair is because they're waiting for the return of Elijah, right? And then if you find some true Orthodox, right, what they do is with that chair is they attach it to the wall up high to make sure nobody sits in that chair. But many miss it because John fulfills it in his coming. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." Right? Did you see it there? Right, that the first words that Zechariah has to the angel, right, is so here's how you have to picture it, right? The verses tell us that Gabriel was in the presence of God, which means that he must have been just lit up, right? Zechariah's eyes must have been hurting because it was just glare, right? And the only thing Zechariah can say to this amazing angelic being is, "I'm old." And my wife, even though she's old, right? She's advanced in years, right? They've been praying. Lord, I would like a child. I would like a child. Gabriel shows up, sets it all up. He's lighting the incense. He's there. Boom. "We've heard your prayers. And God sent me to bring you this message." And what's his answer? "I'm old." Right? Overthinking it. Right? And here's the thing about overthinking, right? You just have to overthink a little bit, and the door of fear steps in, right? He's saying this child is going to prepare to bring this good news, right? And it's good news, not just for them, but it's good news for us. That life is going to be different. That God has a plan, and that plan's unfolding, and we are going to be recipients of this good news. My job is not to overthink it, but to have faith and believe. Right? And here's the thing, right? And because of his overthinking it, right, he gets punished. Right? And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak. Like, shut up. Right? Until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Right? So all of a sudden he got punished, right, for not believing. And you and I might read this and go, boy, that was pretty drastic. Right? Ask yourself, how long were they praying? Right? It's praying. And all of a sudden God would select him to be at a specific place of lighting the incense to be able to hear a word from Gabriel. Right? And it's not just a child. It's a child that's going to herald the Christ. Right? Now, while all this is happening, the people outside are waiting for Zechariah. Right? Remember, they were praying, the multitude. Right? And the people were waiting for Zechariah. And they were wondering at his delay in the temple, like, yo, what's taking you so long? You should be out already, right? And I'm sure that when they feel the tension of, hey, we're waiting for him, then now they start even praying harder, right? And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realize that he has seen a vision in the temple, right? There's a good chance that he was just glowing because he was now in the presence of Gabriel, right? And he was reflecting the light that Gabriel himself was reflecting, right? And now everybody who sees Zechariah says, boy, he looks different, right? His complexion's a little cleaner. Right? It's like there's a shine in his eye, but he can't speak. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. Right? Can you imagine? Like picture that event. Right, that you hear that the thing you've been praying for is going to happen, right? And as you hear this good news, you also get punished because you questioned it. You overthought it ever so slightly, right? You looked at your condition and you all of a sudden assume, well, how's God going to use me? Right? There's some of us here that feel that, right? It's like, oh, I'm so old. Like, how is God going to use me? Right? And right? Or it's like, I remember when we were doing the Bible memorization piece this past year, right? And every once in a while I would hear, oh, I'm so old. I can't memorize scripture. Right? It's like, really? Right? You'd be surprised what God can do with old people. Right? The best is when they say, it's like, I'm like an old dog who cannot learn new tricks. It's like, yeah, watch what you can do. All right, so he received People are watching him. And the best he does is end his time of service in the temple and he goes home, right? Can you imagine him trying to have this conversation now with Elizabeth? Like, hun, what happened? Right, right. He's drawing, right? And she's like, what? You saw an angel? Gabriel? And you didn't believe what he said, and now you can't talk? Right? It's like, that might have been her second prayer. Lord, shut him up. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among the people. Right? So you can see and feel the tension that she had with her community. Right? This disdain because she didn't have a child. And all of a sudden, for her, it wasn't just a child, but it was the removing of this, right, when people saw her, right? So even though it's, have you ever met somebody who just presented themselves in a very high, worthy standard, right? And everybody is just drawn to them. And then as you sit back over here, you go, everybody got a secret in the closet. Right? And all of a sudden you become cynical. Right? That's how they were looking at Elizabeth and Zechariah. You must have sinned against God, which is why you don't have a child. Right? Especially as a priest. Right? Because that was a big thing for them back then. And here's the thing, right? That years prior to these words being written, we would have a prophet, right? And that prophet was Isaiah, right? And he would say this in Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley will be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The uneven ground shall be leveled, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Right? This would be John the Baptist who would be proclaiming, right, that Christ is coming. He's coming. And he would be fulfilling what Isaiah spoke all those years prior. So in the end, right, what is Scripture wanting to teach us, right? And it's, don't overthink it. Don't spend too much time lamenting. Right? You've heard what Scripture has for us. Don't spend too much, like, asking those questions, right? Because sometimes the question isn't about discovering and getting knowledge. Sometimes the question is about doubt. And all of a sudden, doubt leads to not believing. And as Scripture calls us not to overthink, here's what this message calls us to have, and it's to have faith. Right? And that's what this season is about with Advent, to have faith, to believe in everything that Scripture has, even though you might not understand it all, right? That's why we're called to spend the rest of our lives in God's Word, discovering what His Word has for us. It's not as if you read it once and you go, okay, I got it. And this faith is the very faith that brings us to this table, right? As we share this meal together. Would you pray with me? Lord, we do thank you. Thank you that throughout Scripture, we can see your plan unfolding, and it's a plan that you have set into motion right from the beginning. And Lord, I pray that as we hear these words from Luke, that we ourselves would not overthink, that we wouldn't be here receiving of this table, overthinking this meal and questioning, well, what can this do for me? And Lord, I pray that we would approach the table believing and trusting in your finished work. We thank you and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, blessed it, broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, this is my body broken for you. A little later on in the evening, he took the third cup, the cup of redemption. He said, this cup represents my blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins. So as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my saving death until I come again. Would you pray with me? Lord, we just thank you for this table, for these elements, a wafer in place of bread, grape juice in place of wine, and I pray that you would set them apart, that they would be to our faith, your body broken, your blood shed. Lord, help us. Help us the only way you can as we commune with you, our God. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.